The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you here today. Excuse me. And you got a little bit of background, but really, an introduction to Alliance Defending Freedom is this. We've been around for 25 years, and in those 25 years, we have made the mission of keeping the legal door open for the gospel the core of everything that we do. That means in churches, that means in schools, universities, camps, parachurch ministries, and so today, we're going to really dig into some of what that entails. In America today, there's a concerted effort to win the hearts and minds of our children. I have four children myself, ranging from ages 5 to 14, and I see it. We send our children to a charter school out in Arizona. That's the best way to go to school in Arizona, if you know anything about some of the educational standards there. And I'm just proud to be a part of a private type system that allows us to influence our children in that way. We've homeschooled off and on, again, for reasons that we want to influence the hearts and minds of our children through the love of Jesus. But the effort I'm talking about today in America, and again, not doom and gloom per se, but it's one that is sobering, one that we see each and every day, one that doesn't always look to reinforce biblical values. One that seems to be getting scarce. We want to ensure at Alliance Defending Freedom that we all have freedom, that the First Amendment is preserved. And so I want to applaud the good work of ACCS and what you do each and every day. You do remarkable things to help our children take their education to the next level, while reinforcing biblical values. And that's what our Lord Jesus expects from us. Thank you for investing in students and schools across this nation. I'm sure we've got representatives from all 50 states here today. When we talk about this concerted effort to win the hearts and minds of our children, I want to bring out some specific things that we're seeing each and every day at Alliance Defending Freedom, and we have seen for many, many, many years. We're talking about attempts to deceive students into believing that God did not immutably create male and female. We are talking about laws that are means of removing Christian schools from different locales, different zoning laws that come about that make it very difficult for certain Christian schools to exist. We're talking about certain benefits being taken away from schools and students because they are religious. 3 years ago, we helped a school in Missouri. And this school, what they wanted was to refurbish their playground. That's all they wanted. Taking recycled tires and making a new playground for those little children to come and play. Well, they actually qualified out of 500 applicants. They were top five. Well, if you know anything about the court system, it takes a long time to get to the Supreme Court. But guess what? Court after court after court supported the fact that this school could not get the playground refurbished, even though they qualified for a state grant. Went all the way to the Supreme Court, and by God's grace, we won 9-0 at the Supreme Court. Trinity Lutheran School is now able to have the playground that those kids deserved. Those are the type of precedent-setting cases. Those are the types of unconstitutional mandates that we look to defend and take on. Other things about a concerted effort to win the hearts and minds of our kids is spreading animosity towards religious people and religious schools. The animus in different states, different regions of our country. It's sad, but it's reality. You know, the scripture rings true when it says to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Because what I don't want to do today is come in here with "The sky is falling." I don't look much like Chicken Little. But what it is it's a sobering reality that we have 65 attorneys, the largest religious freedom law firm in the country and actually in the world, to have the backs of our Christian schools, our churches, our ministries, to ensure that we have a keen sense, if not the tip of the spear in America today, to be able to take on these things. We as the body of Christ are called to respond with grace and truth. And we want the ability to love on people with no fear or intrepidation of what can and cannot be said in public. Did you know that even many universities today, public universities, that there is free speech zones? So if I were to draw a square right here, it's about this big, and you're only able to talk about your issues if they're religious within this square. If you step outside of that square, you could be in major trouble, if not kicked out of the school. Those are some of the things that I've worked here for 2 years that are just eye-opening to me. This doesn't sound like First Amendment freedoms to me. It doesn't sound like freedom of speech or freedom of religion. It sounds like a concerted effort to make sure that there is silence. We're not talking about politics. ADF is apolitical, but like I said, our mission still stays true, to keep the legal door open for the gospel of Jesus. Here's how some of the efforts are happening outside of the Christian school context, but nonetheless happening in schools today. Some you may have heard of, some others you may not have. The Joel Doe versus Boyertown Area School District has recently been taken to the Supreme Court by ADF. We were declined on May 28th that the court would not take up this case. But this is a case in Pennsylvania where the school district that disregarded its students' bodily privacy rights. The district opened locker rooms that included showers and restrooms to students of the opposite sex based on those students' beliefs about their gender. As we see that trend, and we'll talk more later in this conversation about how gender and sex is now being defined as a part of the mind versus how God created us. Well, they didn't inform any students or parents of this change. And as many administrators in this room would note, parents want to know when things change, even the flow of traffic, right, at the school. In November of last year, we did take this up after the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit said they would not take this up. So we asked the court to review, and they did not decide to take that up. The next case that I would like to discuss with you is the one of Selena Sewell out of Vermont. Selena, a high school track athlete, and again, I have some teenagers, and they're already talking about scholarships that they would like to go after. Although, if they're anything like their dad, sports should not be one of those scholarships. She was a high school track athlete who was robbed of that opportunity to compete at regional events because of one reason and one reason alone. Boys began competing in her event. To no one's surprise, the boys handily took the top two positions in the track event. This went on for many, many track meets, to the point that she now was eighth place. Allowing the boys to compete in the girls' sports shatters dreams like Selena's, where she wanted to compete at a higher level. And while at ADF we believe in the equal parts of male and female, there needed to be equal athletic opportunities for Selena. Science and common sense tell us that males can achieve in sports, and as do women, but keeping them separate has been long seen as the way that these folks can get ahead in that specific sport. Well, in Connecticut, where Selena competes, boys now hold over 10 of those records that once belonged to girls. These competitions have consequences beyond the race itself. It influences scholarship opportunities and college careers. Well, those are more secular examples. Let's talk something that's more close to home around Christian schools. There's many pressures that are being exerted by different state and local governments and sometimes the federal government. One such made the news in Ohio. Do we have any people from Ohio here today? Yeah, a couple here and there. After months of refusing to say whether or not an ordinance would force a Catholic classical school to operate contrary to its religious beliefs in the way it employs people, admissions policies, other types of policies, in South Euclid, Ohio, it was faced with a lawsuit stated that they had to abide by the law, that as a faith community, the school could not convey the teachings of the Bible and the doctrine of the Catholic Church, including teachings on marriage and sexuality. Well, in 2018, the South Euclid City Council passed a vague, sweeping ordinance that appeared to force the school to hire teachers or enroll students who even disagreed with that mission and teachings. You see, the sexual revolution not only has impacted private lives, but many of the private schools, the churches, the private business owners. The sexual revolution will always fail to meet up to its promises. Although this school in South Euclid made multiple attempts to get clarification, they just wanted to understand what the implications of this vague law were. It was twice illegally refused to answer the school's public records request. When the school directly asked the city, just let us know what the ordinance, who it applies to, does it apply to the Lyceum? The city refused to say. And it left no other option that the school leaders proceeded to the federal court because they were now being threatened up to $500 a day fine or up to 60 days in jail per occurrence that they denied someone the ability to come into their school and apply or enroll in its school, even though they did not agree with the marriage policies of the school. Well, I'm happy to say that the city finally agreed that the school isn't subject to that law. ADF attorneys voluntarily dismissed the lawsuit against the city, but it took a lawsuit to get clarity and a peace of mind. That feels a little extreme sometimes, doesn't it? We have to call an attorney to get involved. Well, I'll talk more about the Ministry Alliance because it gets me excited because there's an affordable way that we've come up with to help Christian schools. It does not have to be an exorbitant amount per hour because, again, our mission and our ministry is to serve you as administrators to make sure that you get the legal help that you need. There's another case, AM versus French. ADF was representing two students and their parents at a Roman Catholic Diocese of Burlington in Vermont. Vermont maintains a dual enrollment program, much like many states. Can't wait for my kids to get involved in that. Save me some cash. Well, these students could take college courses at public expense. But the program's main purpose was to promote opportunities for students to achieve post-secondary readiness through high school educational experiences. Well, long story short, as long as you were at a private school, that was fine. But if you were at a secular private school, Christian school, a homeschool, the state categorically excludes students that attended religious high schools. This one such high school was Rice Memorial High School, and Burlington, Vermont said you could not apply. We're still working through this case, but the government is constitutionally required to treat religious people equally. We've known this. It's in the Constitution, but just like you're teaching the classical methods, we've gotten away from the foundation in the public sector. The Supreme Court recently made this clear. A state cannot discriminate against students by excluding them from generally available public benefits simply because of the school where they attend. A couple of other cases. In Upper Arlington, Ohio, the Tree of Life Christian Schools bought a former building owned by American Online. I can't even remember the last time I've heard you've got mail. Probably why this building was vacant. Well, the zoning regulation prohibits schools within this zone, but permits daycare facilities and other similar uses. This Tree of Life school was owned by a church. They paid $12 million for this building. It has been 9 years. No one is going to school there. It remains empty. We recently took this to the Supreme Court. The court denied review. That leaves this Christian school only a few options. Either they continue to lease it out to other ministries or just sell the building altogether. But isn't that besides the point? I understand zoning regulations, but when it is lopsided, that's not freedom. The courts affirm that they cannot use the building to educate their own students. One other case I want to talk about, Inglewood Church of the Nazarene versus Sarasota County. Well, 2013, Inglewood started a Christian school to serve at-risk youth. It was individualized. It was faith-based. But after 3 years after the school opened, Sarasota County demanded that the church obtain a special exception in order to continue operating the school in the church's own building. After the church submitted its application, very time-consuming, right? All of these different things you have to apply with zoning, and right? It seems like it's a whole novel full of paperwork. Well, they went through that process. It cost over $10,000 to the Sarasota County Board of Commissioners. They refused to grant the exception and threatened the church with daily fines, $250 per day if it continued to educate children on its own property. This isn't even talking about the last case that was in a different building. Meanwhile, charter schools and other secular schools do not need such permission. The church and school have spent over 2 years of time and resources pouring energy, keeping the staff's morale up. It's okay, we're going to make it through. Only be to be continually denied of its use of their own building. This not only violates federal law, but also denies students of a religiously affiliated school the right to the same educational opportunities as their peers. Perhaps the most concerning development in recent days is taking place at the federal government with an act that's not widely discussed, but I want all of you to be aware of it. And I want you to Google it, and I want you to find out what you can find on the Equality Act. Has anyone heard of the Equality Act? Amen and amen. That's very encouraging. Because when I say this to pastors, they look at me like I'm crazy. This is an issue that every ministry needs to know about. The Equality Act is a proposed law that would cause significant harm, that would threaten women's privacy, harm children in foster care systems, target ministries and small businesses, much like Jack Phillips, the cake baker out of Colorado. That was our client. And it undermines constitutionally guaranteed freedoms. Similar state laws have been used to mandate that elementary students be taught about gender fluidity and sexual orientation, often without parents being notified. No one is immune from the Equality Act. And that's why every school, every church, every ministry needs to be aware, so we can understand and we can actually go to the representatives in our states and start talking to them about the impact that this would have on us. The proposal did pass the House. And those connected to our organization, they do have different relationships, and this may not make it out of Senate committee. And if it does, it may not make it out of the Senate. And that would be a best-case scenario at this point. This unprecedented legislation seeks to add sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes in the federal anti-discrimination law. I want to make a very pointed statement in saying disagreement is not discrimination. Those are two very different things. The Equality Act would be damaging to the religious freedom of all Americans. The proposal would hurt employers, workers, medical professionals, parents, children, women, volunteers. And as a ministry, just like ADF, This would dictate whom you can hire, who you can fire. It would not be allowed to refrain from, much like the funeral home we're representing at the Supreme Court in the fall, that you can't mandate certain types of dress codes. If you want to dress as a female and you're a male, that's going to have to be okay. National pronoun policies, referring to someone as Z rather than he or she. National healthcare mandates that would cover sex change operations. Much like in the state of California, where religious institutions are expected to cover in the healthcare program abortions. You would not be allowed to require employees to dress in a certain manner. You wouldn't be forced to use certain pronouns. But more importantly, when these folks are confused, if they're wanting to be a male and they're female, vice versa, this would not allow them to get help. Gender dysphoria is in the DSM-5, but that's not widely discussed. And this would allow the Equality Act, with no religious exemptions of any kind, that this would make this a federal policy. This is something we all need to be aware of and monitoring and honestly praying about. That's the first thing we should do. There would be national bathroom policies allowing the opposite sex into these showers, bathrooms, locker rooms. We have a pastor out of Massachusetts, in Southbridge, Massachusetts, Pastor Esteban Carrasco, that operated with he and his wife a domestic violence shelter out of their church. This was started because his wife, her grandmother, was severely abused for 40 years by her grandfather. So they had a mission, right? We're on a mission. We want to serve. We want to connect with people. Well, the state of Massachusetts said, well, because you're allowing people into your church, you are now subject to public accommodation policies. That would mean that someone that is dressed like a man, or in this case, dressed like a female, can sleep right next to someone that had been severely abused by a male. These are things that we must stand up and say it's not okay. Pastor Esteban did stand up, and we were able to get that reversed for all churches in Massachusetts, for all religious institutions, that they can operate their ministries without fear. The Equality Act, like I said, has no religious exemptions, and it partially repeals the primary religious freedom protection that your ministry currently enjoys. I'm sure we've heard of the Religious Freedom Rights Act, RFRA. This also impacts zoning. This impacts land use. It would give complete freedom to the LGBT community in a way that violates the freedoms of everyone else. Well, the Equality Act is one reason why, when we see the culture changing and hostility increases, we've seen schools start to ask themselves, are we prepared for those things? I'm going to ask a loaded question. How many of us have insurance? Right? Oftentimes, we see insurance as the necessity because we want to be protected. We not only want you to be protected at ADF, we want you to feel free and go out and minister in your community and bring people in. That is the point of the Ministry Alliance. The Ministry Alliance was established after just a few short months after we started the Church Alliance, and we had schools and camps start coming up to us and say, we want the same types of benefits that you're providing churches, where we will do a full document review on your bylaws and statements of faith to ensure from a religious freedom perspective that you have it all buttoned up. We've hired attorneys specifically that you can call anytime and talk to them about what's going on in regards to religious freedom. We have an on-demand portal. I don't know about you, but I love on-demand anything. I think it's creating another level of impatience within me, though. Where you can log on and get samples of bylaws, or we have 2 to 3 minute videos from different attorneys talking about different issues that you can stay up to speed on. That way, when you start asking yourself, do I know how to handle the culture changes in a tactful, biblical, and lawful way? Do we know that our governing documents and policies provide those legal protections? And the most pressing one right now is gender identity and sexual orientation. Did you know one of the most aggressive places, cities, in the U.S. for these, what we call SOGI laws, sexual orientation, gender identity, is Birmingham, Alabama. So often we say, well, we know it's in California and Oregon and Washington State. Bless you guys that are there. But on the shiniest of the belt buckle, Birmingham, Alabama, things are changing. But again, we know that our Lord does not call us to operate out of fear. But he calls us to be wise and to seek counsel. That's our heart at ADF. Christian schools are vital for passing on faith to the next generation. ADF is focused on generational wins. Generational wins that marriage is protected. Male and female are protected. Parental rights are preserved. There are places in our nation that have taken the cue from Europe, where in Europe it's hard to get a Christian education in different places. You know that better than I do. There are parents being jailed in Europe that we have defended in Germany for homeschooling their 7 children. Yet we look at that and go, well, that's Europe. Well, in California, CPS has been called because a 13-year-old wanted to start taking gender transformation medication. And CPS actually followed up on it to say that they couldn't stand in the way. This is an education for me as much as it is for you, as my children start going into different school environments and different places in the workplace, knowing that their faith is valued and their love for Jesus must be spread. And in that way, we must know exactly what's happening in our nation today. Local, state, and federal laws are intruding on the way Christian schools operate. Again, you could probably give me more examples of that than I have listed here today. But for example, the admissions and employment functions of your school are core to your religious identity, but they're being questioned, if not ridiculed, in some cities and states. Without proper advice and safeguards in place, it leaves some risk. And I wouldn't call it healthy risk. There's always healthy risk. This would be unhealthy risk, not knowing what your facility use policies are and what that opens you up to. Not knowing what tax exemption really means for you these days. Not knowing which government grants you can apply to and which ones you cannot. Principals, headmasters, and superintendents shouldn't have to carry the burden, this legal burden that comes with a changing culture. You shouldn't have to bear the brunt of that. There are places like ADF that can take that from you and work with you. That's the heart behind ADF, the Church and Ministry Alliance. Because if you're anything like the church that I grew up in, that my dad pastored, resources were few. And if we could find something or someone that could help us, especially in the legal world, where on average I hear schools and ministries and churches telling me, a lot of attorneys will charge me $400 an hour. I can tell you, once you talk to us, that is nothing compared to, we want to price our services much lower than any of that. And if price is an issue, we want to know about that too. If you think about the ACLU and the funding that comes into that organization, we're talking about a $2.1 billion organization. That's why ADF was created by Dr. Bill Bright, Dr. James Dobson, Larry Burkett, some of the main founders of faith in the U.S. in 1993 said, we've got to do something because the ACLU is going to the courts and we don't have anyone representing us. Well, now we do. Because we're a $60 million organization compared to that. It feels like a little bit of David and Goliath. But guess what? We've had 9 Supreme Court victories in 8 years. Did you know that over 10,000 cases are put before the Supreme Court every year? We've had 3 taken up to the Supreme Court and 1 in the last year and a half. That brings joy to me because that's not bragging. That's not arrogance. That is the fruitfulness of our God. That we will be faithful to what he's called us to. And what he's called ADF to is to be legal representation and some of the smartest people I've ever been around. Because the question's going to be asked, I'm not a lawyer, by the way. We have lots of excellent attorneys that are there, trained and ready to go, that have a passion for what we do and how we do it. Again, I stated why we started the Ministry Alliance, and it's because we got overwhelming calls once we started Church Alliance. The members of ADF Church Alliance, again, you can send in your school governing documents. We've already got several Christian schools a part of this. Your policies, your employment documents for our attorneys to review. It doesn't go into some queue. You actually get a phone call. You actually build a relationship with Ray and Kyle and these different attorneys that are ready to talk to you and love on you as you work through these issues. We review these documents and we discuss the recommendations that you need to make, again, to make sure that you're prepared. We are here to defend freedom, and we're here to proactively do it. You can reach out to us anytime that you need us. A lot of people will ask me, well, does this include, litigation? Did Trinity Lutheran School have to pay additional once it went to the Supreme Court? Trinity Lutheran didn't pay anything. That's the heart behind this. That $60 million budget that I referred to is completely donor funded. And it's because we have an alliance. This is not about building the kingdom of Alliance Defending Freedom. Because we humble ourselves to our Lord on how he's going to use this for his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like I said, ADF has been on the forefront of these legal issues impacting religious freedom of businesses, churches, schools, and nonprofits for 25 years. And we've seen the culture shift and shift and shift. But as much as we've seen the culture shift, we've seen our God is faithful. And that's why we're ready to serve every school and every church, no matter the size, to ensure that you're ready. We have nearly an 80% win rate overall in the last 25 years. That's over 52 Supreme Court cases. We work with over 3,200 allied attorneys that have been trained through our organization that are out there running their own law firms for pro bono and discounted rated purposes for a Christian worldview. Those are the stories you don't hear, that we have that many Christian lawyers, number one. But this network is a body of Christ that says we want to defend freedom for everyone. Like I said, we've played a critical role at the Supreme Court, so please continue to pray, specifically for the Harris Funeral Home case that's going to be coming up here in the fall. Be praying for them. They're out of the state of Michigan and just sweet people. They've been in business since 1910. So between the Equality Act in that case, that's what we'd ask you to pray for and partner with us on as we move forward. So we'd love to partner with you and your school as we seek to keep the legal door open for the gospel. The gospel can and should be freely lived. As we know, the word will not be stopped. It's been tried before. It's not going to stop. And we can be willing leaders and participants in the alliance. We're looking for like-minded schools like you that are passionate about accomplishing their mission. So please, I'm here, we're here. Over the next couple of days, stop by and talk with us. We consider it an honor that we were even invited to speak at something like this. And we want to make sure that you know we're here and we're ready to serve. So thank you for your time today. Thank you.